One of the biggest things that bothered me more than anything else was people that went to vote and they were told they already voted. That happened. I must have heard it from 50 people in my district. Just a little information for all of you. The new machines, this new process, we didn't vote for it. That was something that was pushed by the governor. Mm-hmm. He mandated that all of the counties had to go and change their system.
First of all, I just want to say what they did in Philadelphia when they closed us out and made us go to court to do what we should have legally been able to do is a travesty to what we in Pennsylvania need to have confidence in our elections. That should never happen again, and we should probably tighten our law so that it can't. Secondly, I'm extremely bothered by the absentee ballot and the mail-in ballot request number being almost 700,000 off from what we received. And so we just did try to get on the Department of State, and they did take down their dashboard, so we can't even check it. So if you have any of that information, any pictures or any, website downloads, we would really appreciate having those because they took them down. So I don't know. Everything they do looks like they're trying to hide something, and it really, really continues to erode any kind of confidence in our process.
Senator, what I would suggest is they decided that morning, or maybe a couple of days before, to exclude you because they knew what they were going to do. It wasn't an accidental sort of whim to exclude all Republicans. It's unheard of to exclude all Republicans. They excluded you because of what you would see. You would see ballots that weren't properly filled out. You would see ballots that were filled out at the last minute. You would see them start to get reports of how far behind they were because they were connecting to Dominion and Smartmatic, and they were telling them how far behind they were. And you would have caught them right in the middle of the fraud. Why create this big problem for yourself of excluding Republicans in six states, hundreds and maybe thousands of them, if you're not doing something wrong? If you're doing something, as the senator said, that's kosher, come on, look, who cares? This big thing wasn't done because they were conducting an honest vote. It's kind of crazy to think that. This was done because they knew this is the only way they could steal this election. And when he was ahead by those numbers on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, they panicked. I'll also tell you there's an expert witness who can testify that this pattern fits the pattern that Smartmatic used in two elections that they stole in South America. When the election was getting too far away, they called a halt in the voting count. Well, there was a halt called in six places, including in Pennsylvania. In one place, they made believe there was an overflowed water tank. It happened to be one little toilet bowl. They took a two-hour halt, and in Michigan, they brought in 100,000 ballots through the back door and counted them with nobody observing them, except three people who happened to be remaining behind. That's evidence that's also in affidavits and could be presented to the Michigan legislature. Those people are willing to testify. And just one other thing, these people are very brave people. Mm-hmm. A lot of people aren't testifying. They're backed up by 50 more who are willing to testify. Obviously, we can't present all of them. I want you to know that all of them are backed up by numerous witnesses who say the same thing. But there are probably another 50 who are not willing to testify, including probably what would have been one of our best witnesses, because he's been threatened with the loss of his job and his children being thrown out of their private school.
I did want to make a comment first. I join my colleagues in being concerned about the arbitrary Supreme Court decisions and their decision to decide to be legislators. And all Pennsylvanians need to be concerned about this. It's not only the election or redrawing maps. What's going to be next that impacts our state? And so not only do we need to be looking at what happened with this election, we need to be looking at how we can stop the Pennsylvania Supreme Court from wanting to legislate when that's not what they're supposed to be doing. And it's very disconcerting the decisions they made contrary to state law in regards to this election. My question is, if you could talk about the drop-off boxes, again, something the Pennsylvania Supreme Court allowed, talk about the security around them. I know in my area I did not have a significant amount of drop boxes, but can you talk about what type of security or parameters of safety were around these drop-off boxes, and also how many ballots were collected in these drop boxes? Thank you.
That, of course, is the subject of another lawsuit that was brought the other day. I only know it generally. The drop-off boxes were provided, speaking very broadly, in the Democrat part of the state, not in the Republican parts of the state. They were many, 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 very closely, very close to each other in Philadelphia and Allegheny County, places like that. They were miles and miles apart in other places. And as far as I can tell, I've only read the lawsuit, don't know the details of it. There was no security for them. And there are many situations where very suspicious activity was seen, with people dropping off, you know, you're not supposed to harvest votes, people dropping off 30 and 40 ballots at a time. That's a pretty big family.
In regards to doing a forensic audit, would this be able to be done or be anywhere accurate? Does anybody know?
I was just looking around for my two experts. He came over to tell me that all of the material that we have, forensic material we have, is archived, and we can easily make it available to you online, and you can look it over. I don't understand all of it, but maybe I have people help me understand it. But yes, you could do a forensic audit of the machines. I understand that even one machine would give you a great deal of information about how the whole system operates and how they slip votes in at various times. And you're not supposed to be connected to the internet in the counting room, but they were connected to the internet. And your tally was being sent to Frankfurt, Germany, where it was being analyzed.
How many lawsuits are pending, where they're at in the various appellate processes? And second part to that, the allegations of the mail-in ballots, the 1.8 versus the 2.5 that came in, is that the substance of a lawsuit?
So as far as the campaign is concerned, we have pending lawsuits in here in Pennsylvania. That's going up to the Third Circuit. They've granted an expedited review. We also have pending litigation in Nevada. We also have recounts in Georgia and Wisconsin, and we also have a pending lawsuit in Michigan. So regarding the mail-in specifically, we are still looking at all of the other legal options, and we are also planning on filing additional litigation by the end of this week. I won't go into detail on that other than to say that this is asking for a judicial remedy to this, and also I'll invite the question from the panel as well in terms of a remedy. Part of what we are asking, or what we did ask initially, was to stop certification so that we could get to the bottom of this process. Clearly, you've heard sufficient evidence today that would lead any reasonable finder of fact to say that there's been sufficient evidence that you should stop that, you should not move forward with certification. What we would ask the judiciary in terms of remedy can be legislative as well under the Constitution. And I would direct your attention to Article 2, Section 1.2, which says that each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct a number of electors. And so you, the legislature, without judicial oversight, can direct and take back that power. You have the opportunity as the legislature, and legislature in this context means the state legislature. So although there has been delegated authority to your Secretary of State and according to your law, at any time you can take back that power, and that is the provision and the protection that is embedded in the Constitution to make sure that when there are instances of corruption in a state, that the state legislature, which is the representatives of we the people, all of these wonderful people who are here today in Pennsylvania, and all of your constituencies who voted and who want their voice to be heard, because we are a government of the people, by the people, for the people, we the people need to submit.
Thank you.
Need to submit our vote. And so I would say, in terms of a remedy, you may fashion that even outside the purview of the litigation that we are now bringing.
So we certainly know about the irregularities and inconsistencies you just detailed, an inconsistency, and you can't prove a negative. That's why you can never prove votes that were never allowed to be cured. But in regard to allegations of fraud, I have a question first, and forgive me, I don't remember names, but the gentleman here from Philadelphia who was denied admittance to observe in a poll. You described being denied the ability to get into a polling place. Did you seek to be admitted to any other polling places and were also denied?
I could have gone to other polling places where I heard there was problems, but we decided to move on to other problems. What was her name? I was actually at her polling place that when she was being totally harassed. I was one of about 5-6 guys to stop the harassment.
So there was no polling place that you sought admission to in and around the city of Philadelphia that just allowed you in when you displayed your orange card?
I probably could have gone to that entire ward and had the same problem. We went out of that ward because there was other problems going on that day.
Okay. Next question for a gentleman next to you, from the attorney from Florida. You were observing polls and the processes in the city of Pittsburgh. I believe that you described being kept away from being able to observe the tabulators and so forth. That was a problem we certainly saw in other places in the city of Philadelphia. When you were eventually allowed to get closer, where perhaps you could see the ballots and the votes, did you observe anything different about the behavior of the tabulators? Did their behavior change? Did their methodologies change? Anything to lead you to think that they were conducting the process one way when you weren't observing, in a different way when you were?
In the first instance, we were never really able to get, there was only one element of the process where we were able to actually get reasonably close to see what a tabulator was doing, and that was with overseas and military ballots. When overseas and military ballots come in, they come in a different format that's not readable by the machines, and so there's a individual that takes the ballot and then keys in the votes for the voters. And of that group, we could see about 3 or 4 of those people doing that transposition of those ballots. Beyond that, and that was for a very short period of time on actually Friday evening, Friday after the election, they were beginning to tabulate overseas and military ballots. With that singular exception, we couldn't actually see any ballot at that particular moment that you ask about. There was no opportunity to ever really see any ballot other than that situation. And there was one worker that was within, 8 or 10 feet of us at the edge. And we did, in fact, see him do 35 Biden military ballots all in a row, which we found to be kind of curious. But it did not... What he was doing did equate with the papers that he had in front of him.
Okay, so. Thanks. And my final question for Mr. Giuliani. You've alleged fraud within our voting system, and we've heard a lot of anecdotal evidence we have as representatives and senators, and you've presented a good deal today. But amongst the affidavits you have, do you have any affidavits from anyone who could be quantified as a whistleblower, who actually was part of the fraud and is now willing to testify as to the fraud?
Yes, we do. We have, I believe, I have to check this, but I believe sometimes I get the states a little confused. But I believe there are 3 that would need a subpoena to protect themselves in order to testify.
Okay, and then I would presume that's
and I would
part
say
of your
one,
legal.
At least one of them is a Democrat.
Okay,
I'm not
that's
sure the other
part
two.
Part of your legal claims, I would assume.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Thank you.
And if there's a subpoena process, we could work with them to come forward. And they're frightened for their jobs, and I don't want to make too much of it, but they're also frightened for their physical safety. I mean, this is a case in which one of the lawyers, one of our chief lawyers in the case, had to leave because his family was threatened. his little children were threatened, for representing the President of the United States. That's not America.
For those that maybe think this is, like we just don't like the result, that's not really the case. I've spent weeks since the election having numerous people go through data, and for the sake of time, I just want to highlight a couple of examples why some of these things just, at a minimum, they certainly make you scratch your head a little bit. In one thing is voter registration trends that I've gone back, we went back to 2004 and all of the presidential elections, and pretty much without exception, the registration trends in a given county are a pretty good indicator of how the votes would go. Statewide, for example, Democrats had a 1.1 million, I'm rounding the numbers here, in 2012, about a 1.1 million voter registration advantage, and then President Obama won re-election. In 2016, that number was down to 900,000, just under 900,000, and as we know, President Trump won Pennsylvania by about 44,000 votes. In the weeks leading, the months leading up to the election, Republicans were gaining about 5,000 to 10,000votes, registrations at least, per week. I know that because I was spearheading our York, Pennsylvania for Trump effort in my spare time. And that what had been a 900,000 advantage at election day was down to about 680,000.
Wow.
That's a couple hundred thousand, almost all of which occurred in the 6 months or so leading up to the election, yet the president loses by 90,000 votes. Not impossible, just want to get it out there. Let's drill down a little further. My home county of York County, which netted more votes for the president than any other in 2016, we had a 13,000 increase in Republican registrations. Democrats dropped 1,000, Republicans increased 12,000, yet the president's margin of victory decreased by 2,000. In Westmoreland County, there was a 26,000 vote swing, a county even smaller than York. Democrats saw a 10% decrease in registrations, yet Joe Biden outperformed Hillary Clinton by more than 20%. It doesn't prove anything, but I want to at least bring it to everyone's attention that we're just not sort of making things up here that we don't like. Some of these are certainly head scratchers. So I'm, when you lose 10,000 Democrat registrations, gain 16,000, yet the margin of victory stays the same and Biden increases by 12,000 votes in that county, that's surprising. Lastly, if I may, I want to talk a little bit about, I don't know if the gentleman can testify or can return, but your witness on the gentleman with the military background on the voter fraud and so forth.
Colonel Walden.
Yes, thank you, sir. I guess my question here is, do we believe or have reason to believe that the mail-in would be more or less susceptible than the election day vote to manipulation? And here's why I ask. Another head scratcher. I'm comparing Republican to Republican, Democrat to Democrat. We all know that Biden did better with mail-in, and that was expected because a lot more Democrats voted by mail, and of course the president did better on election day. Nothing to see there. However, when we compare President Trump to a relatively unknown candidate named Stacey Garrity, who was elected a Republican who won the race for treasurer, on election day, the president defeated, did 128,000 votes better than Ms. Garrity on election day. Not really all that surprising. A number of people don't vote down ballot and so forth. Yet with mail-in ballots, she did 41,000 better than the president. I have a hard time understanding that. Let's go to Joe Biden. We have a relatively well-known attorney general here, Democrat Josh Shapiro, who won re-election. He, on election day, he defeated Joe Biden by 52,000 votes. He did 52,000 better than Joe Biden. Yet with the mail-ins, Biden does 54,000 better than Shapiro. And I just sort of want to get that on everybody's radar. Maybe there's an explanation, but I don't really understand how Democratic mail-in voters are that much different than Democratic election day voters. And interestingly enough, apparently Republicans who vote by mail are much more likely to vote for the down ballot candidate than on election day. Last comment there. Part of the argument is that people didn't vote down ballot. That's going to be a lot more prevalent on election day when you've waited in line for 2 hours and you're in a hurry to get out there. But this speaks to the opposite. With a mail-in ballot, you have plenty of time to complete your ballot and to go down ballot. So if that was the case, the opposite should be true if you're tracking with me.
The user's manual for the specifically the Dominion and the ESNS suites, they do allow the administrator to batch process mail-in votes. So what that does is they process all the mail-in votes in a batch, and it can be a batch, you know, they normally scan in batches of 50, but they can just chunk all of those votes into a batch file. The administrator then can select which candidate or which percentages of that mail-in ballot go to which candidate. So they're very susceptible to individual manipulation by an administrator operator.
The question I have, Mayor, for you is that as legislators here in Pennsylvania, is there one or two things that you would advise us or suggest to us that we really concentrate on and make a change? You know, what comes to mind that would be most important for us to really do here in Pennsylvania?
Well, first thing, of course, as a lawyer for my client, along with Jenna, we would ask you not to certify and to certify the correct, honest votes, which I think can be arrived at several different ways. And probably the easiest way to arrive at it, just because of the huge number of votes, are the votes that were not properly inspected. And when I say properly inspected, they weren't inspected at all. You could almost consider them hidden votes counted in a back room where everybody was smoking cigars. And the reason you have a lot of votes without a down ballot, you're quite correct, Representative Jones, that it's much easier to fill out your home, you can fill out the down ballot, than rushing through a machine. However, if you only have a half hour to get 10,000 votes in, you don't have time to do the down ballot, do you? If you're sitting in a truck somewhere, right near the place you're gonna bring in shopping bags, and I don't think we have this evidence here, but we have this evidence in Michigan. We have evidence of trucks coming in with ballots in garbage pails and ballots in cardboard boxes. So maybe it's my prosecutor's paranoia, but it seems to me that those ballots were filled out that night. And you don't have time to vote for all those. You just got enough time to go. And that's why you get this strange anomaly.
I learned as a lieutenant never to bring a problem to my superiors without a solution. That's one of the things I try to live to today. There are solutions that are available. I made the simple comment that your vote should be at least as secure as your Venmo account, and it's not. It's easily fixable with app, with blockchain. There is a process out there that was developed by MIT. It's called VOATZ, V-O-A-T-Z. It's being fielded now. The problem is there are no national standards for federal elections, and there are no enforceable standards. So if nothing else out of this election, if we have a set of enforceable standards and we use technology like blockchain to ensure that every vote going through the whole process is transparent from soup to nuts, then we can ensure a technologically advanced secure election that's not an individual vote may be manipulable, but batches of votes would not be. So
you asked what two things? Well, I think those two things are very clear that you have to deal with today, and then you have to deal with the future. And the more pressing instance right now is today, and this body should deal with that in some way. And you are the constitutionally vested entity to do that. You have a variety of options in front of you. And when you deliberate together how to best address that, you have the constitutional authority and permission to do it.
Mayor Giuliani, as you move forward in the court battle, I know the press has been continually, day after day, saying no evidence, no evidence, no evidence. Well, I think we heard a lot today. Do you expect that you're going to have an opportunity in the right level of courts in our state, in our nation, to have this evidence presented by some of these people here today and others that you have signing affidavits?
Yes, I am. I'm certain that there will be a court decision that will allow us to present our evidence. The case in Pennsylvania was dismissed on a motion to dismiss, in which the judge made factual findings against us, basically saying he thought our claims were absurd. Of course, he has no right to do that on a motion to dismiss. On a motion to dismiss, he has to assume that everything we're saying is true, and I think it was just done to delay us. And I can't imagine a judge giving a correct decision here that wouldn't at least allow us to have a factual hearing. And the reason we came to you and some of the other state legislators is because I believe that we're being denied our right to a hearing by the courts. But then again, you do have responsibilities equal, if not superior, to the courts to oversee these elections. So we've made similar requests to the legislatures in Michigan, Arizona, and Georgia, and we're very hopeful that next week we'll get to present to them, as we also press for a hearing in court. I think it is really important for the American people to see these are not my claims or Jenna's claims or President Trump's claim. These are the complaints of the American people. And I'm more than happy to make available to you an outline of the other affidavits. It would have been impossible to produce all the witnesses. But I can show you that for each one of these witnesses, there are anywhere from 15 to 50 other witnesses who saw the same thing. I have a list just in Pittsburgh alone of 27. I have a list in Philadelphia of 32. I have a list of about 40 witnesses on CURE. Even though the numbers aren't ascertainable, there's still a lot. None of the things we're saying to you are just arguments. This is evidence. I keep explaining to people, affidavits are the best evidence you can have until somebody actually gets into court and swears.
Attorney Ellis, you had made a comment regarding what our constitutional ability is. And so while we understand what the Constitution does say, as far as us taking responsibility and, you know, we could intervene in certain sectors, you know, while the Constitution gave us that ability, it's been explained to us by attorneys that we took that power that was given to us as General Assembly members and we put it into statute. And that statute says, you know, how we appoint our electors and how we certify the elections. It's all spelled out in our Pennsylvania code based upon the power that we have from the Constitution. You have a differing legal opinion of that?
Yes, I do. And I think that our collective, and with my co-counsel here, you can take that power back at any time. And when you have the delegation of authority, the legislature can take that back. And you also have an instance here that the law was completely ignored. So even though you have a manner in which your electors are generally selected in Pennsylvania, and that's worked for the past presidential election since those statutes were authorized and gone through the legislature, this is an election that has been corrupted. And so you can't go through that method, and those laws were violated. And that is the General Assembly here, the legislature, is the authorized entity in the Constitution that selects the manner. You can take that power back at any time. And so when the laws were ignored, and that's where we have and why we have all of this evidence to bring to you, is to show you each of these different types of ways that election officials have violated the manner in which you as the General Assembly have prescribed in the law how you select your electors. Because they violated that law, you have the constitutional authority to craft a remedy. You can take that power back at any time. You don't need a court to tell you that.
You also delegated it to the very people whose conduct is in question. You're asking them to investigate themselves. So given the fact that this is your sole constitutional right and authority, You can always assume constitutional authority that you've delegated back. You also have a rational basis for doing it because you're asking them. I mean, this was done, one might argue, or at least that's one of the interpretations of the fact, deliberately by the governor, by the elections commissioner, who issued absurd opinions telling people to violate the law. and then you're going to ask them to make a decision on the election that allegedly they corrupted?
Did you know that I have a website, frankvaughn.ca? It's the ultimate repository for all of my work, including the videos and audio-only podcast links, which you can also find on Spotify, iTunes, and a dozen different platforms. If you like the work, please consider clicking the donate link and supporting it either on a monthly basis or a one-off basis. I take crypto, Bitcoin, Neblio, e-transfer, PayPal. It will never be behind a paywall. What it is worth is up to you. Please consider supporting at frankvaughn.ca.